welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
And it's been pretty fun in the wake of the 20th anniversary of the Iraq War to just kind of take a look back through and see some of the fantastic takes that people had way back in the day. So just a fun trip down memory lane for people to justify how we got into that war. And it's so funny because some of the takes are just like so fucking adamant that it's impossible to walk back. Like it's hard to moderate. Like, yeah, you'd really just have to double down and be like, yeah, I fucking meant it at the time. Like, probably the most famous one is like Tom Friedman that went on Charlie Rose the one time. What did he say? I have it here. I can't remember what the exact quote was off the top of my head, but basically how like it was necessary for the U.S. to go to that part of the world to flex our muscle, basically to show that, you know, we weren't going to be pushed around by folks in the Middle East. Oh yeah, that's right. He's like the military has to knock on the door of regular Iraqi people and say, suck on this. Like
we're not going to be pushed around. You can't moderate that one.
It's really bad. Like, you should see it because he's like deathly serious as he's like going through this 2-minute screed talking about why it's so important that the U.S. Show like basically big up on the Middle Eastern stage.
Yeah, it's amazing looking back 20 years at that and seeing that there are still people who, I think for the most part, people try to like, oh, no, I was never for it, which is like weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you were. And look, I understand why a lot of people were for it, considering like they were lied to. Right. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. We all were. But I don't even measure, I mean, outside of politicians who had way more information, but even they were lied to, right? Like, you know, you could make that argument. Should they have known better? Yeah. But like, I'm not super, like, I don't hold that as being a thing against a politician forever. Because again, if you were given real information, would you have made the same choice? We don't know, right? Like, it's not fair to say definitively that they wouldn't have. However, like halfway through the 20 years, if you're still like, we need to double down, nah, yo, you don't get to walk that back. Like, Trump tried that, and it was like, dude, you were like pro the surge. You were pro all that shit until it became universally unpopular, and he's like, we need to get out of this war. Like, nah,
yeah, here's this clip from Howard Stern. We have you right here.
Right. So like, those people I don't give a pass to. Like, I don't give a pass to people with the early, you know, the sort of the early authorizations of war and stuff like that. I don't give a pass necessarily, but I do understand the circumstances, and I think it's important to understand those. But nah, yo, if you're like 10 years in and you're like, fucking hell yeah, like, come on, man, that's crazy to me. Like, that's just absolutely nuts. And Trump and many other neoconservatives, not that Trump's a neoconservative, he's just a straight fascist. They're still on that shit, which is amazing. Yeah. And people who still support it to this day are even crazier. So, that's a wild look back. But speaking of wild, this week, holy shit, will he, won't he? A lot of that this week is today the day. And as I predicted, I knew it wasn't going to happen. You know why? Because there's no way the news gods would smile down on us and have a Trump indictment before we record. If anything, it'll happen tomorrow morning after I edit this episode. Like, that's,
well, so that's more. So reportedly, and not reportedly, like anyone with like work knowledge of the situation immediately saw Trump like, I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday, and we're like, wait a second. Like, first of all, an indictment hasn't even been passed down yet, number one. So you're not going to be arrested until you're indicted. And an indictment can't be passed down until Wednesday at the earliest, because that's the next day that the grand jury reconvenes. So what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah.
And yet, everybody...
The news went crazy.
Everybody out there, both sides of the news media, politicians all over the globe, they fell for it again, because... After 8 years, we have not yet learned, apparently, that Donald Trump is a messy bitch that likes drama.
Yes.
Like, that's, I mean, really, that's the simplest way you could describe it. He's a messy bitch.
Yeah, and not only is he a messy bitch, and how, he's just a liar. Like, he's just also a bold-faced fucking liar. He's also an idiot, right? Like, because I don't doubt that he read or heard that he was going to be indicted possibly Tuesday. And he was just like, indictment, arrest, and he just conflated it all. Got on fucking Truth Social and just like did this screed, right? I wouldn't be surprised if that happened too. But it does scare me that the news media will just play along, or they will just follow along with whatever he says. Fact check be damned, like off the rip, right? There was a good 2 to 3 days after he said that it was like, this is a statement of fact. Like, it's happening. I expect that type of dumb shit to spread on social media because a lot of people are pretty unaware of how systems work and things like that. And it's sensational. And then you've got like a bunch of, you know, political influencers on the left and right who will just amplify that message, right? Mm-hmm. And then people just see headlines and they're like, oh shit, today's the day, right? So I understand that. I don't give an excuse to the news media who should know better, right? They know that the grand jury reconvenes on Wednesday, right? That of course was canceled today. We're recording on Wednesday night. But they are reconvening on Thursday, which again leads me to believe that the news gods would of course make the indictment the day after we record. Naturally. Because of course, like, why not?
And it's funny because and like the next story that you have here is that he wants the spectacle of an arrest. He's trying to play the situation to his advantage or whatever that means. Because I kind of want to back up and talk about how it's kind of preposterous that people are just like, oh, like he's playing 4D chess. Like, oh man, like if they indict him and arrest him and charge him with this crime, like it's going to make him even stronger. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, how many presidential candidates do you know are just sitting here with federal indictments hanging around them in the past? That's been a boon to their campaign. Like regardless [S2] Right. [S1] of the hypercharged, you know, like partisan area that we live in right now, like the partisan times that we live in right now, it's not a good thing to be a potential like an indicted felon,
right?
When you're trying to run for president,
I mean, here's
regardless of how you slice it,
right? I get why people think it would work for him, and it may to some extent, right? Here's where it does work for him. It sucks all the air out of the room talking about any other candidate but him. Mm-hmm. And the thing that he benefits the most from is everyone talking about him and no one talking about Nikki Haley or talking about Ron DeSantis or any of the other potential candidates, right? That hurts Ron DeSantis the most because he really needs people to talk about him. That's why he keeps doing all these despicable bills, and we'll talk more about that today. That's to keep his name in the mix. It's not because he truly believes it, though maybe he does. I think it has way more to do with just keeping his name in the mix of like, these are policies coming out of Florida. If you're a piece of shit and you like these, Ron's your guy, right? Meatball right. Ron, as I'm partial.
He also tried, I'm sure you saw, and I'm sure everyone listening heard, he tried to take a shot at Trump. He tried to have it both ways, interestingly enough, because someone asked him about the pending indictment, and he's like, oh, Alvin Bragg, he's a Soros-funded prosecutor, and he can't keep New York safe, and to say nothing of the fact that crime stats are actually down since Bragg's been district attorney, but that's right. Neither here nor there. But on the other hand, I don't know anything about, you know, what it's like to pay off, you know, porn star or mistress or anything like that, so I don't really have any experience in that field. It didn't really land well. Like, it was his attempt to try to be Trumpian in many ways, but he just doesn't have the charisma to pull it off. Yeah,
he doesn't. He's a dork. But it is interesting, right? It from a purely historical purpose, it's really interesting that you could see a former president being indicted, right, for a quite serious crime, right? This is not like a bullshit thing. What I do find interesting is that, it's not surprising, but it is interesting. The right wing's response to this is like, presidents shouldn't be, you shouldn't go after presidents for any crimes ever.
Did you see?
What?
Did you see Kevin McCarthy's take on this entire situation? He's like, yeah, this is just a personal finance situation. Like the federal government or the New York government has no business getting involved in this personal finance situation. Let's forget about the fact that, as I think I heard, I think Michael Steele made the point because he was guest hosting All In last night. Someone's already been to jail.
Yeah.
For a crime related to this specific incident. Like, literally someone pled guilty and went to prison for their involvement in this personal finance, you know.
Right, like, you can't pretend like deal. This is suddenly not a crime.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, should Michael Cohen have gone to jail? Absolutely. So, can we continue on with this case? No. Like, who the fuck was he covering up for, dude? Who do you think he was covering up for?
Yeah. How is it that he's doing an illegal act, but the guy that's, you know, basically
told him
commanding him to do it is, you know, is off the hook in some way, shape, or form? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it never made sense. Look, I find it deeply fascinating. I do like the sort of – I do like to watch Trump's reaction to certain things because, there's a part of him that, like, he gets the showmanship aspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
They changed the gate to be attack-proof at Mar-a-Lago. What is the FBI ramming it down with a tank? No. Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
They have the mobile fucking armored vehicle from Die Hard that they're rolling up.
Right. Yeah, they just like, Johnson & Johnson, here we go. Fucking, like what are you talking about? Right? Like, the federal government's breaking into Mar-a-Lago to, like, pull you out? Or do you think, like, your protesters are going to be fighting it? Why would they be fighting it, right? Like, it doesn't actually make any sense, but it sounds like it does, right? Oh, he's got an attack-proof gate now, which, what does that even mean? Just go over it.
I'm about to say, is it a dome? Because I feel like you could just, you know, fly a helicopter in there.
Yeah, like, it's like when Trump was, you know, talking about the wall, and he's like, oh, we're going to make it, it's going to be 50 feet. You can't get over that. Well, unless you had, like, a 51 foot rope. Like, he knew it didn't make any sense. It's like, yeah, right. You need a rope. You know? They've solved this problem. Walls are really not the impenetrable force they once were, right? Like, relax.
And even then, like, you know, back in the fucking, you know, Middle Ages, like, they were able to get over fortifications, no problem. Like,
yeah. Like, dude, we figured this out. I've seen Lord of the Rings. Like, just get the big ladders, man. Like, it's not that hard. So, like, the idea of him pushing that narrative and pushing his people, he's like, yeah, come out and protest and take the country back. They're very reminiscent of January 6th, you know, the days running up to that. But it was interesting because there was a big call by the young Republicans in New York, and they were like, come out and protest for Trump, blah, 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 blah. And they did. There were 10 times as many reporters as there were supporters there. That's not good.
To quote Tobias Funke, there are dozens of us. Dozens.
that doesn't bode well. Now, the one guy, I think it was Ben Collins, who was covering that for MSNBC, was saying that one of the problems, though, is in order to find the location of the event, you had to sign up for, like, this spammy email list, and people just didn't do it. Like, They've been spamming their people so bad and getting them set up for so much bullshit that they're leery about doing it themselves. And apparently, there's another aspect which is really fascinating, is that people don't want to show up because they don't want to be on camera to get arrested later, like January 6th. So that is a lovely little thing that you created yourselves, you big dumb dumb.
Oh, you mean the actual president can't save them from federal charges coming their way if they do some dumb shit? In public? Oops. That's weird.
Hey, go ahead and do it in the state of New York. See how that works out for you. Yeah, you're going to big boy.
Not
going to
go too well, I imagine. And yeah. And it's interesting because there are people in the know that they're hearing rumors. So again, I don't know how any of this is true, but they're hearing that, like, the DA is basically, like, as far as the arraignment goes, they're just like, yeah, whatever you guys want. Like, we're down with whatever. Like, we don't, like, if you want to do it privately, we can do it privately. If you want to do it publicly, we can do it publicly. Just let us know what you want to do. And it's Trump's side that's, like, indecisive about how they want to handle this shit.
I wish it wasn't a choice. Bring him in to the least interesting fucking entrance. Mm-hmm. Bring him in, arraign him or whatever. Do the indictment. Have a meet in front of a judge. Do the mugshot, fingerprints. Go on your way. No public spectacle at all. You want to hurt this guy. The biggest thing you do is take all of the spectacle away. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yep. Give him nothing.
But like you said, he wants the spectacle. Like he wants the.
Why does he get a choice?
He wants.
I know. Weird.
Because they always fucking bloviate to like white collar criminals, essentially. You know what I mean? Like they get afforded a lot of luxuries that that your normal felons don't necessarily have access to.
No, I'd be like, no, fuck that. You don't get a choice. I would just be like, no, you don't get a choice. You don't get to be like, yeah, rally the troops type of shit. No. Nope. I would be like, here's the mugshot. I'd release that shit that afternoon. That's it. Done. Here's this dumb fuck asshole. That's it. That's what I would do. And I would hope that he looks sad and upset because he didn't get his fucking spectacle. I'd be like, yeah, we're going to do it. And then I'd be like, yeah, let's come right this way. And just drag his ass right down a boring ass hallway. You get nothing.
What I would do is before the mugshot, like I would force him to remove like all his bronzer and stuff like that. Like, no, sorry, we need your natural face for the
that's the fucked up, Brad. And, Jesus. Yeah. That ain't right. Ugh. Can you take off your fake hair piece, please? Like,
yeah.
No, sorry, it's real. No,
I want that, like I said, I want that pasty white asshole to be as gross and nasty looking as he possibly can be.
Oh, he looks pretty awful these days, so oof, without bronzer, dude, he is going to look like, I don't know, like something that lived under a rock for the last 4 years. Like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, he does want the spectacle of the arrest. But all of this hurts Ron DeSantis. Like, it really does. I mean, I think it'll also doubly hurt Donald Trump as well. But right now, DeSantis needs his name in lights as much as possible. And he's down. Like, he's actually losing in the polls. Like, he's slipping in the polls even further. Mm-hmm. He's now 28 points behind Trump.
It's still inexplicable to me. It's still inexplicable to me that Trump still has such an iron grip on the party. There was a there was 54%. RNC. Yeah, 54%. There was an RNC retreat that happened like last weekend, essentially.
Yeah.
And in the part of it that they opened up to the media. Like, you would think that they have plenty of dumb shit that they want to talk about on their platform, like, you know, fucking social media and wokeism and CRT or whatever the topic du jour is in the Republican Party. But they were all talking about the potential Trump indictment because he's still the centerpiece of this party. And that and like you said, that hurts DeSantis. That hurts anyone else that wants to challenge him. Like, Mike Pence was trying to have it both ways as well. I don't think that they should indict Donald Trump and this or the other thing. And someone then asked him, like, oh, so like you're saying his supporters should protest then if he gets indicted? He's like, I don't think they should indict him, but if they do, I don't think this would be the right time to protest. But everyone has the right to protest, but I don't think they should protest, but they also shouldn't indict him. Like they're trying to just have it both ways because they know they can't completely come out and scorched earth him because they know that they'll lose the support of his base, but they also can't be like, oh no, it's fine that a president, you know, breaks the law and gets away with it. So
look, that's going to be the most interesting part of that entire series of debates is who is going to have the balls to go scorch earth on him first, right?
The funny thing is, I don't think
any of them will.
They'll have to be led to it. I think the moderators are going to broach the question right out of the gate. I don't think you're going to have to wait too long.
I think they'll still skirt it, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't. They literally can't. And because of that, that's why I think he won't lose to them. Because he can go scorch earth on any of them.
Now, let me ask you this question. What do you think about the Party of Small Government, TM, sending a letter to Alan Bragg to be like, you have to come testify before Congress to explain why you, the district attorney of New York City, are indicting Donald Trump on criminal charges, even though we technically have nothing to do with this at all, any way, shape, or form. Like, they're trying to tie it in by saying, like, he's using federal funding to pursue this indictment. which,
yeah, like that's not how that
all
works.
He has to do is be like, here, I'm not going to come up there down there, but I'll go ahead and send you my books and you guys can check those out yourself and see that we're not using a single federal dollar.
You know what I would do? I would say, I will do, cause Jim Jordan runs that, that committee that's calling this. I'd be like, remember when they subpoenaed you and, remember what you did? I'm going to do that. I'm going to not respond to it. That's what I would do. If Republicans have set the standard that you just don't have to respond to a subpoena, you just don't have to respond. Like, no big deal. I just wouldn't respond to it. Fuck off. This is a frivolous bullshit one. If we're starting the standard of you don't have the power to force me, you got to go through all this rigmarole or whatever, go through the rigmarole. Once you get through all that, if they say I have to come, then I'll come. Go fuck yourself. Yeah, no. Don't play the game. Because all it is, it's not, they don't have any real questions. They just want to gum up the works. They want to take something you say out of context so they can go, well, see, he's a partisan, George Soros, blah, blah, blah. No, I'd be like, I'm not going. Fuck off. Yeah, I'm just not going. Fuck off.
Were he even to go, like, all these questions, they'd be like, tell us about the case. He'd be like, I can't. It's ongoing. I'm not going to fucking talk about an ongoing investigation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like, that's what Ted Cruz would do, right? Like, that's his move, is he would, like, he did that with
With
the FBI. Oh, why don't you tell us what's going on? Well, we're not allowed to talk about that. Oh, so you don't want to talk about it? Well, we all know what that means. That means that's their protocol, dude. But to people who are laymen who don't understand that that is, in fact, the FBI's protocol, they just think that they're lying. Right. And it's a manipulative thing that they do. So I wouldn't show up. Fuck off. No, I'm not coming. Well, what about the rule of law? Ask Jim Jordan. I'm just doing what Jim Jordan does. And I think he's really smart. I would just be like, no, I'm not coming. Fuck off. Like, you can send as many emails as you want. I'm not coming. Fuck you.
I too don't wear a suit jacket when I'm sitting in Congress.
Yeah. No, it makes me interesting. Differently different. Fuck that guy. So I just wouldn't go. Like, nope. Like, oh, that seems offensive. Yeah, well, what does that do to the rule of law? Well, the rule of law has already been trashed by the Republican Party anyway, so why should I play your game? No, fuck that. So here's another interesting thing. So there are three pending cases right now for Trump. There is the New York Stormy Daniels case, which is the potential indictment coming, of course, fucking tomorrow. There is the Georgia case where he basically was like, hey, can you find me 11,000 votes? You know, even after the fucking votes were certified, right? Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll just try to steal this election. That case. And then there is the federal case for the secret documents that were in Mar-a-Lago. Well, the sources say that a special counsel claims that Trump deliberately misled his attorneys about the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, says the judge. So apparently he misled his lawyers, Trump did, so that they would sign an affidavit saying, like, the place had been – Mar-a-Lago had been properly searched. All the documents had been found. There's nothing else left. And he lied. He lied to them, so they would just sign this because they couldn't move on without signing it. And so they did. They believed him, which is a mistake. Why anyone would take Donald Trump as a client is beyond
me. Yeah, but say at this point, like, you've seen what has happened to literally everybody that's represented him at this point. It hasn't gone well for any of them. Like, he's left a trail of indicted attorneys in his wake,
right? Like, which is lawyers getting lawyers,
right? So yeah, you're right. I have no idea why anyone would represent him at this point. And it also kind of gives you a hint in to probably the caliber of representation that he's currently receiving at this point, because if nobody with half a brain would take him on as a client, I can't imagine he's getting the best of the best, as he likes to say that he exclusively likes to hire. So
yeah, he is not. And that largely comes from the fact that he doesn't pay people.
Well, did you see one of his attorneys one of the other fun things is that, like, his lawyers keep making the mistake of going on Ari Melber's show.
And Ari Melber, the one for the Georgia case?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Ari Melber, like, is an attorney. And yeah. like his lawyer was like, oh, like, we reviewed the evidence, and there's nothing in there that makes our client guilty. And Ari Melber is just like, oh, cool, that's neat. Here's the statute that he's accused of violating. Like, here's two of them. There's, like, way more than just these two. And I'm like, and Melber did, like, the lawyer thing. He's like, I'll give you the widest berth possible. Before the election was certified, all right, we're going to argue, we're going to go back and forth. But he's like, but after December 14th, he's literally on the phone asking to find 11,000 votes. He's like, how can you charitably interpret that statement as anything other than trying to solicit, you know, solicit election fraud? Yeah. And his attorney just didn't have an answer.
Yeah, he was just like, we're very confident that he didn't. What? That's I'm very confident that he did. Now we're back at square one. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, no, that was an interesting interview because he had no answer. He had no answer whatsoever. He was trying to just lean on sort of like weird, like client lawyer, like, we got this. We're going to do it. Like, together we are one. Like, he had no definitive answer of like, no, actually, all right, let me push back. That's not how the statute works, or blah, blah, blah. He had nothing. None of that shit. It was hilarious, actually, to watch a guy just completely try to bullshit his way through that interview. And Ari Melber had him dead to rights. Like, the quote he put up from the statute was, like, even requesting information, like, basically requesting that you get, you know, whatever, 11,000 vote, that is considered illegal. Like, that's exactly what he did. He quite literally requested that they find 11,000 so-and-so votes. It's inarguable. It's inarguable. But we'll see. I can't wait to hear
it. We haven't heard the entire 62-minute phone call to be able to make that determination. Apparently, if you listen to the whole call and not just that one snippet, it completely reframes the entire context of that statement. Because before he says it, he apparently says, hey, I got a funny joke to tell you, Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp. God, I, like, don't take any of this seriously, what I'm about to say for the next, you know, 45 seconds. But here's a funny joke. And then he leads into the whole 11,000 votes thing. I'm sure that's exactly how it went.
Yeah. Can you believe this? Check out this hilarious joke. Like, yeah, no, dude. You are as guilty as it fucking comes. And it is fascinating that they think that case is going to go any way besides him getting indicted.
Yeah. There's also the one of his attorneys in the New York case. Someone found a clip of this dude on CNN or MSNBC back in 2018. Like when the indictment dropped against Michael Cohen and he started, you know, and he was going to jail, and he's basically like, yeah, he's like, Michael Cohen by himself could not, there's no way he could have just like initiated this by himself. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, dude, come on. And you represented this dude? Have you said that? Like, what the fuck changed your mind other than the promise of money that you're never going to see?
Oh, no, you're never going to. I hope you got paid up front. Surely you're not that stupid. You went to law school, for God's sake. But yeah, I did see that. It was like, this guy, what is it? I forget his last name. It's like Tampico or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. They're basically like, he didn't believe Trump right up until the check cleared. Right? Like, it's like, he's my guy. Like, come on, man. You're on tape. You're on tape saying that this is bullshit. And you know it's bullshit. And we all know that you think it's bullshit too. So, like, right. It's just hilarious. But I do want to point out something going back to that first story. When the shark, like, when there's blood in the water, the sharks will come. When this indictment comes down from New York, those other indictments are going to come a lot faster than you would think. Because it stiffens the spine of other prosecutors and other DAs around the country to go, oh, they can do it. All right. Well, we had a case, but we were like, we don't want to be the first ones. It's a little scary. Let's let the Southern District of New York do it. They're the big boys. They got it. Cool. Now let's roll. You're going to see a lot more cases probably get opened against him and shit like that. I guarantee you.
I don't think the other folks involved, or at least the three that we know about, I don't think any of them like really care about what the other's doing. Like, Fani Willis has already kind of said, Like,
oh, no, that one's happening in Georgia.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so that's not a surprise. And Jack Smith's doing his Jack Smith thing. Like DOJ is going to move slow as fuck because that's what DOJ fucking does. They're the ones I'm the most afraid about, quite frankly, because again, like, what I don't want to happen is we get to like January and they're prepared to bring a case, but they're like, oh, no, we can't do that because, you know,
right.
It's election season now. So,
right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I find it funny, but I think that Georgia indictment will come down super fast right after this New York indictment. I wouldn't be surprised within like 2 weeks. They're like, boom, here's another one right on him. And look, those indictments are going to carry pretty heavy weight going into those debates. Like, hey, man, everybody else on this stage has no pending indictments. How about this fucking guy? Is this what you really want as a president? A guy who's going to get into office and have to fight these criminal charges? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. But for the Republican Party, it's maybe. Like, maybe we would like that. Surely everything he's done wrong that's easily proven, that's all bullshit. But all the nebulous things that we say about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, those are facts.
Like, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Or Hunter Biden. Who said this? Fuck, somebody out there. It was probably McCarthy as well. Like, you shouldn't use the government to go after your political enemies. And I'm just like, were you talking about Trump or Hunter Biden? Because I'm really confused right now. Just saying.
Yo, Kevin McCarthy sucks. Like, he really, really stinks at his job. He is awful. And he should have never had it. I mean, it only took him, what, 15 rounds before he got the job?
Quite literally, yes. 15 rounds.
What a loser. All right, next up. So last week we played a clip of a woman whose brain just got lit on fire when asked a simple question. Go ahead.
I want to pause. So the Bethany Mandel interview happened. We played it last week. You heard it. I'm sure everybody had seen it anyway beforehand, where she was confronted with the question, how do you define woke? And like you said, like, her brain shut down literally for 30 seconds and she couldn't come up with a compelling excuse. So for other conservatives out there, that's like seeing the answers to the test or seeing the question that's going to be on the test before you have to take it. So like, you see someone else took the test first. And they were confronted with this difficult question. And you're like, oh, shit, like, I should probably give half a thought to what my answer for this question is. Because after seeing that, like, there's going to be tons of fucking people in the news.
Yeah, this is going to be the weapon that
who are going to ask me the same thing. So, like, right. it would behoove me to at least spend, you know, a couple minutes workshopping a potential response to this question.
Right. Yeah. Or not. I could just not do that because I'm an idiot. And one such idiot, former press secretary Dana Perino. So she's on Fox and she's talking about the definition of woke. She's gonna let you guys know, don't worry, conservatives. You guys are okay. It's not a big deal.
One of the things about woke is, Matt, can you explain it to your mom? Think about that. And I remember when President Trump was running, and it was before he won in 2016, he used to get standing ovations initially when he would say, political correctness is ruining our country. And everybody that was clapping knew exactly what he meant. But it's sort of like the Supreme Court definition of pornography. You know it when you see it. So the Democrats want to get you in an argument where you're having to define wokeism as if the Webster's Dictionary is defining it. And that's not what it is. It could be a feeling. It could be a sense. And I wonder if Republicans or conservatives are going to have to define it more. She could be right. I don't know. This will be tested. But the other poll numbers you showed are important. The one thing I don't see any candidate really doing right now is talking about a plan for pro-growth economic means. And that's what Americans are pretty desperately looking for.
Okay. Before I get into the absurdity of woke is an undefinable term, I just want to point out the last thing she said, which is hilarious. What we need are policies about economic, like, you know, economic growth from these candidates. She's talking about Republican candidates. Mm-hmm. Dana, you do know that you're in the Republican Party, right? They don't do policies anymore. That's why you're talking about the thing you're talking about, right? That's
on,
why you're
on the five.
No on less. The five. Ugh.
Yeah.
Five.
Why did Greg Gutfeld look like a small child? Like,
because
sitting,
he
like,
is a small child.
Hunched over his chair, looked like his feet were hanging above his seat. Like, is he how tall is Greg Gutfeld? That's a question.
There's a solid chance Gutfeld is 5'3". There's a solid chance.
Let me take a look here.
Yeah, that guy
how
sucks.
Tall is Greg. This is like I said, this is an important thing to know.
Yeah.
5'5". You were close.
Dude, he's got little man energy, yo. Like he does.
Yes.
Almost everybody on TV is tiny. Like they are.
You are literally a giant reigning among him, Jay.
Yes. I could like Undertaker choke slam Greg Gutfeld through
Greg Gutfeld does not surprise me at all that he has Napoleon syndrome.
That sure. does no zero exactly very, 0%.
Very much so. So as Andy said in our chat that three of us have with each other, wokeism is just vibes.
Like, yeah, this is like, a vibe, bro.
That's the Republican platform.
It's a vibe.
It's woke is vibes. Hey, what does woke mean? I don't know, man. It just feels woke. You know, like I can't really say like how this is woke. I just know it is.
I know it in my bones. I know it in my bones. What is really funny is she made the point of like, yo, there's no like Webster's dictionary definition, so. Merriam-Webster actually has a definition. Woke, chiefly U.S. slang, meaning aware of and actively attentive to the important facts and issues, especially of racial and social injustice. That's exactly correct. Like, it's exactly correct. How do you explain it to your mom? Read her this definition.
And the irony here is it means the same thing to Republicans, too, just not in the same way that you would think that it should.
That's correct. But I do like that. I mean, woke is like, it's like a feeling, man. It's like, it's all the vibes. But that actually, for them, that's correct. Because they just say anything that doesn't feel right, white. I think it's white, right? Yeah. It's definitely white. Yeah, yeah. If it doesn't feel straight and white, then it's woke.
Well,
I saw a thing that it was woke that ESPN was covering female basketball in the month of March. And people were like, but March Madness doesn't start for like 2 weeks. There's not a game for like another week or so. Like, yeah. That's why they're not covering male basketball. They're like, nah, it's woke. Like, all right, so it's just a vibe then. Like,
yeah.
Woke is when women do things.
But again, the problem is that when you have people making laws to combat wokeism, you do have to define it actually, because we need to know exactly what you're trying to target when you're like, when you can't just be like, you know, hey, I'm going to write a law and, you know, if it feels woke, we're going to outlaw.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. If it's got bad vibes, bro, like I'm trying to vibe out on this. Like that, sir, that's not a legal term. Like, sir, we don't accept the vibes as a legal precedent.
I know that, you know, folks like you and I, people listening to the show, like we get caught up in the discourse, right? Like we get caught up in this bullshit.
Oh yeah, sure.
But again, it does warrant remembering that the average voter, a normal person who goes out and votes, isn't wrapped up in this shit. And I'm sorry, but like whether you're correct. Trump or DeSantis, and you make it through the Republican primary and you're going up in a general election fight against Joe Biden, if you get up on the stage and talk about like fucking like the Democrats have gone too woke and America's so woke and Joe Biden has all these woke policies, the very online people will know what you're saying, but like fucking normal suburban, you know, like normal, you know, Ohioan voter is going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
they're going to be like, I thought we were just. Are we still raising the roof? Is that what we're saying? They don't know.
Yeah,
and like this idea of going after like racial and social awareness, like injustice awareness, is the weirdest thing that the Republican Party has done in a long time. It's not the most heinous, but it's certainly the weirdest. And I mean, ultimately, if you're attacking what you declare as a vibe, why don't you just have a war on jealousy too? Like, it means nothing. And I think that's what we have to start to realize as folks on the left, is that it's meaningless, right? Like, yeah, there are policies that hurt people, like the Don't Say Gay bill we're going to talk about in a second. They want to expand it and things like that. But we have to stop playing their game and playing their narrative game. Stop going, oh, you don't understand what woke is or whatever. Like, I'm fine to, like, embarrass them from time to time on a TV show. Mm-hmm. That's more than fine. I'm very petty like that. But when it comes to attacking these laws, like, we need to attack it from the perspective of what it really is, right? This is actually just general discrimination. This is classic Republican nonsense wrapped in the idea of anti-wokeism and stuff like that. Don't even talk about that. You're trying to say that, like, people can't say the word gay in school. Gay people exist. Being gay is not illegal. It's not illegal. Just hit it from that perspective. Don't hit it from a, oh, it's a wokeism thing, or ignore that. Let them go out and just keep using it and sounding stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's largely happening. I think most people on the left are like, why would I? Like, I'm not out here being like, yo, I'm woke. Like, people don't say that shit anymore. Because conservatives have just kind of made it to be nothing. So
you have to approach it with the who is this fucking clown principle. Who is this fucking clown is the best retort that you can give to somebody coming at you with some nonsense on the internet, because it implies A, that they're a clown, and B, that they're not even notable enough to you need to know who they are, despite who the fact that they are indeed a clown.
Right. That's pretty good. So, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I feel like you have to treat Republican wokeism with that same kind of fucking energy. Like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, I'm out here trying to fucking get gas prices down. I'm trying to curb inflation. Like, we're trying to make sure kids in school, you know, get school lunches and don't go fucking hungry. Like, we're trying to make sure people have access to insulin and life-saving medication that they need. So they can talk about fucking wokeism all they want. He's like, I'm trying to do work for the American people. And that's where 100%. You have to kind of curve it. So.
Right. And I think when this inevitably gets brought up during a presidential debate, which is crazy to me, that's exactly the attitude Joe Biden should have. Like hit him with the Webster's Dictionary definition. You know, like, listen, that's about, you know, racial and social injustices and being aware of it. But let me tell you what I'm doing. Right. And I think we should be aware of these things. And let me tell you what I'm doing. Pivot. Boom, 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 boom. Policy, policy, policy. Let them roll around in the mud of, is it a vibe? Are women's basketball illegal? Should it be, you know, should we be talking about it? Like, let them deal with those stupid nonsense issues and hit people on the bread and butter things. Because at the end of the day, like you said, most people don't give a fuck about that. We give a fuck because this is what we do. But most people don't care about that. What they do actually care about is, you know, pocketbook and kitchen table issues, as they say, right? How do I pay my mortgage or my rent? Car notes due. How much groceries? What's the cost of bread? Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's what people give a fuck about at the end of the day. They don't give a shit that a blue-haired girl from a liberal city is out there saying, hey, I'm woke about XYZ. They don't give a fuck. If it does not affect them, they don't care. And that's not me trying to, like, shit on, you know, liberals with blue hair. I think it looks generally silly, but whatever. Like, that's you know, if that's what you want to do, I don't give a shit.
You are a noted hairist anyway. So
yeah, frankly, people walking around with hair at all, ridiculous. You, I can barely podcast with you, Brad, with your full head of hair. It's disgusting, and it's. Just braggadocious for no reason.
You fucking magnificently coiffed son of a bitch.
Like, I'll podcast with you today, this week, but next week, it's off. So, like, I don't care about those things. Like, I think it is great that young people, especially, are starting to become more aware of the issues that have systematically held people of color and women. And, you know, sexual minorities down. And that's great. But at the end of the day, That's not the stuff that's going to get people over in a presidential or a Senate race. It's going to be, where are my taxes? Like, what are my taxes doing? Can I afford X thing that I want to afford? Is the housing market shit? Or can I afford to upgrade my life or stay the same? Mm-hmm. Or am I backsliding? That's it. Democrats, the truth be told, Democrats beat Republicans in the last midterm because they did not focus on a bunch of bullshit. They focused on kitchen table issues. While everybody is screaming about wokeism, screaming about a bunch of nonsense, Democrats were like, hey, man, here's cheaper health care. Here's cheaper food. Here's help with COVID. Here are things that will help you. And people were that's cool. That's all
there is definitely value to being the adult in the room. You just have to be able to convey that message in a way that resonates with normal folks. Like, that was Hillary Clinton's problem. Hillary Clinton had a lot of great plans, but she couldn't talk about them in a way that wasn't fucking wonkish as shit. You know what I mean?
She's fucking nerd.
Yeah, like the reason why Joe Biden is successful is because he has the same plans, but he can talk about it like a regular fucking dude and get the message across to normal Americans. So
that's it. And, it's unfortunate, but yeah, being a bookish dork is not helpful because Americans are very anti-intellectual.
It'll make you a really effective chief of staff, but it's not going to make you a good president, unfortunately.
Yeah, wow, she's a really good secretary of state. Like, yeah, now let's have her run for president.
Hey, you know why she's a good secretary of state? She's a fucking nerd, and she spends her entire fucking job talking to other big fucking nerds around the world.
Yeah. Hey, can I hang out with the international nerds? You can. Go. it's just reality. I mean, Obama rode the line because he's a big nerd. But he's like a big nerd in he's a big wonkish nerd. But he's also like a modern nerd. But I also watch Marvel movies. Whereas that's not as nerdy as it was in 1975.
Yeah.
Right? So he's a modern nerd in that, like, I really like technology and stuff like that. And everyone's like, yeah, well, I'm also a nerd in that way. But he's also like, but I also know all this wonka shit too. And they're like, what? And he's like, nothing. Hillary's over there. Look at her. Look at that nerd.
But he can also hoop, though. And I feel like that counted for a lot.
Say again?
I said he could also hoop, though. And I feel like that counted for a lot.
Oh, 100% did.
Yeah.
Dude, the first African-American president played college ball and was pretty fucking good. Yeah. Look, I hate to play to that stereotype, but if he played badminton, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Not as well.
Like
I said, you know you got to be cool. Well, I think we should probably install a basketball court here in the White House. Like, tennis courts are all well and good, but not out here there to play fucking tennis every day. Like, get the hell out of here.
I'm trying to play a game of 21. Get out of here. Come on, Joe. Let's get it going. Let's play a game of horse.
I'm gonna Justin Trudeau down here and play some one on one. Like, tear his ass up.
Yeah, but like, D me up, bitch. him slamming the ball over Macron would be pretty disastrous. Next up, Disney announces that they don't give a fuck about Meatball Ron.
Did we really ever think that that Disney of all people were going to be phased by Rob DeSantis's
Rob DeSantis? Dude, I'm telling you, if they keep running with that they just keep misspelling his name, I'm kind of here for the Trump party pettiness of this.
Well,
because it's going to get ridiculous, and I can't.
So the joke is that So Trump, before we get into the story, so Trump, in a recent one of his proclamations that he puts out in email recently, called DeSantis Rob DeSantis. And I made the joke to Jay and Andy. I was like, there's a non-zero chance that if Trump just keeps calling him Rob DeSantis, that eventually DeSantis will just start going by Rob, like it's not even a thing. And the reason I say that is because someone posted a video of DeSantis, before when he was running for governor, and he would always introduce himself, like whenever he would step up to the podium, he's like, hey, like, I'm Ron DeSantis. And then all of a sudden it became, hi, I'm Ron DeSantis. Like he literally changed the pronunciation of his last name because the media was just pronouncing it like that. So he's like, eh, fuck it. I'll just pronounce it like that too. It's like, dude, it's your name. Like, say it however the fuck you want to.
Dude, it's your name. He's like, no, I've always been Rob DeSantis. Like, no, no, Ron, you fucking meatball. Meatball Ron's a good nickname. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. So, you know, Ron DeSantis obviously going after Disney, you know, took control of their land, or took it back control under Florida.
Back for the people of Florida. Not even really. Cause like I said, they didn't do what they said they were going to do and reincorporate in the counties. Like, they just put a governing board in place, basically, to tell Disney what to do.
Yeah. And guess what? They're going to control the movies that are made. No, you're not.
Yeah, all the Disney movies that are filmed in Orlando and not in Hollywood Studios. Okay, cool.
Even if they were filmed there, you still can't tell them what to do. Like, they're still a corporation. Like, no, you got to make Tim Allen Buzz Lightyear in that movie Lightyear. No, we don't. Like, go fuck yourself. Like, then we will let you release the movie. You don't have any power here. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, shut up. So DeSantis obviously taking the ownership of the property back and putting in this governing board and really fucking with Disney, all because they backed the idea of standing up against the Don't Say Gay bill that DeSantis came out with. Well, Disney, $1 billion richer now that they don't have to deal with that land anymore. They said that, hey, guess what? September 11th through the 14th, we're running a big old fat, big gay Al, largest LGBTQ+ conference in the world, to talk about gay, lesbian, and transgender rights in the workplace. That's a good fuck you. That's a good fuck you. Now, a lot of people may not know this. So Bob Chapek, who was the CEO when the Don't Say Gay bill came out, he was the reason Disney hesitated. They were like, I don't know, should we say it? Well, they got rid of his ass. Disney was like, get the fuck out of there. And the former CEO is back. And he's like, I don't give a fuck about me.
Yeah, but that's it. Fucking Bob Iger's out here, but like, bro, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, like, and look, Bob Iger has been the CEO under Disney's, like, biggest growth. Like, you know, so he's just kind of like, we don't need Ron DeSantis? Like, fuck that dude. And so they're not just throwing a conference. They're throwing, quote, literally billed as the largest LGBTQ+ conference in the world. Hell yes, dude. I hope it's super fucking gay. I hope they backlight the Disney castle in pink and blue and every other color in the fucking rainbow. I hope they do it up. It should be a fucking spectacle. Like, the only people even allowed into the park that week have to be on the LGBTQ plus spectrum. Hell yeah, dude. Like, fucking do it up. Really do it up. Announce a bunch of gay-ass movies. Have drag queens doing shows. Do the whole fucking nine yards. I love it. But it just goes to show you, look, Republicans, this is what you wanted. You wanted runaway capitalism, right? You wanted to not be able to tell corporations anything. Well, guess what, motherfucker? It's great when they agree with you. It's not so great when they don't. But what other governor would even have the balls to step on the tail of Mickey Mouse in their state? Disney is their biggest employer in the entire state besides the federal government. Why would you fuck with them?
You say what other governor would have the balls. I say what other governor would have the stupidity to do such a thing.
I mean, yeah, that's basically my point. Right. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're going to fuck with the number one employer in your state? That doesn't feel like a smart idea. And look,
it's funny because we talk about like Arkansas a lot of the time, because as Arkansas tends to pull back from some of the worst shit sometimes, because if they do anything that's going to fuck with Walmart's money, Walmart's like, don't do that. And Arkansas is like, you know what? I don't think we're going to do that. We decided on our own. Not from any
side. Yeah, no, we would never kowtow to Walmart. Please. No, we don't kowtow to Walmart. We kowtow to Sam's Club. Totally different organization. Like, yes. Yeah, it's
because they know where their bread is buttered. They're not stupid.
Hell yeah! Like, come on, man. Don't be dumb. Like, don't be this dumb that you think that this makes any sense. But look, Disney's like, we don't give a shit. Like, you don't intimidate us, and I think that's the right move.
But again, taking this from another perspective, do you really think DeSantis actually cares all that much? Because again,
no.
Like he grandstanded to win re-election. He's going to continue grandstanding to build his presidential profile. He's already won. Like he's already in his second term as governor, so he doesn't have to worry about running in the state of Florida again. And it's not like he's going to, you know, like the next step for him is not going to be like, oh, I'm going to be Senator DeSantis. Like, no, he's going to try to be the fucking president. And if he's not successful this time, he's going to try again. 4 years, I guarantee. Like, we're gonna have to put up with this fucking meatball for the indeterminate future in Republican Party politics.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, I do think though, here's where you wouldn't have to deal with him anymore. If he wins the nomination and Donald Trump goes fucking ham and destroys the party and causes him to lose, Ron DeSantis is done. His political career is all but done. It's dead because. There ain't no coming back from that shit. Republicans learned their lesson by putting up Mitt Romney twice. Like, it don't work. Where's he gonna go? You gonna Fox run for
News.
Senate?
Fox well, News.
I guess.
He doesn't have the personality, though. You're right. Yeah, I thought about that as soon as I said it.
I mean, he could run for Senate in Florida, but okay, if that's as far as he goes, he's one of 100. Like.
You know he could, but if he were to flame out in Republican presidential politics, and then he came back like hat in hand, he's like, you know, I'm going to run for Senate. You think Disney would actively lobby against him?
Yes. Yeah, I think Disney would try to kill his campaign in its infancy in Florida. Like they'd be like, all right, cool, we're just going to back the shit out of your opponent. I would. I'd be like, here's. $3 million to whoever's running against him. Right. Shit, here's $30 million. Who gives a fuck?
Like here, because we all know corporations famously donate to both parties because they want to be on the good side of whoever happens to be in power. Yep. So like that's what I would do if I were them. Like, oh, cool. Here's the donation that your Democratic opponent would normally get, and then here's your donation, which is also going to go to your Democratic opponent because
fuck yourself. Right. Hey, remember that? Don't say gay bill. Don't say Ron. That would be
my, that's good. That's good. That's good.
But yeah, I love that Disney is doing this. You know, Disney is a massive corporation and, you know, I don't support them as a, you know, like as a corporation. I mean, I like some of their products obviously, but I do love this. I do love this. This is great. So this is a good fuck you. It will be interesting to see what DeSantis does. Right? Does he try to go after them on something else? I'm not sure he can.
No.
What can he do?
No. He's busy right now anyway. He's got a presidential campaign to plan for.
Mm. All right. Well, you're 28 points now, buddy. You got a lot of planning to do. That's
true.
Best of luck with that. Speaking of meatball, Ron. So DeSantis wants to expand his "Don't Say Gay" law to all grades before. And again, this is how you know conservatives are consistent liars. They said, well, this will never go above the third grade and under. You know, you can't say gay or trans or LGBTQ or whatever to kids because that'll like make them realize people exist. I don't know.
Wasn't that the whole argument, like the main argument they made for the bills? Like, we don't want young kids mm-hmm. to be exposed to this. Like, wasn't that the whole crux? Of yeah. the issue originally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But now cool. like they need some more juice in the news. So now they're planning on expanding it all the way through 12th grade. Here's the thing though. Gay kids exist. Mm-hmm. Gay high school kids exist. Now you could make the argument, well, maybe you don't know in third grade whether or not you're gay or straight. Maybe, right? But you definitely know a lot of kids know when they're in high school, right?
Or figure it out.
Or figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids, this is just the modern world we live in, thankfully, is that a lot of kids are just out. Mm-hmm. They're like, yo, I'm in fucking 11th grade. I'm fucking out. I'm not heading off to college in 2 years, you know, closeted. Like, I'm out. My parents know. My boyfriend or my girlfriend knows, obviously, right? Like, this mm-hmm. is who I am. Why the fuck would you implement that law or that bill knowing that there are kids that you are hurting? Like, and I know why they do it. They're garbage, but like, it's such an irresponsible way to behave to me.
Not only that, where does the line get drawn there? Because we've already seen places, you know, like in states where they've banned, you know, abortion, that caregivers are afraid to even provide legal services around this, right? Because they just don't know where the line is. So, like, let's say this, you know, this goes forward. Do you not treat or do you not teach any sexual education courses in school, in Florida schools? Cool. Enjoy that STD and teen pregnancy epidemic that's about to fucking hit the state of Florida for the next 20 years.
Yep. Yeah, you don't need to use condoms. They don't even work. Everybody knows that.
So, cool.
So
that seems like a great idea.
So, okay. Interestingly enough, I like to read. Like, I feel like when I have, that's a weird statement to say, but like in America, that actually is probably a thing people should say. I actually enjoy reading. When I think that I have like a gap in information, like I have an idea of whether something is true or not, I like to try to read up and be like, am I correct or not, right? So I was reading, incidentally, about, like, I saw someone tweet something, and they were like, it was one of these, like, I don't know, like, fucking Candace Owens, like, moron video, and she's like, what's a woman? You define it for me. Meh. I'm a woman because I have a uterus, right? It's like, yeah, we got it. I wish you just didn't have a mouth. That's what I have a uterus. Fucking annoyance. What's an ass? But, you know, she's like, yeah, what's a woman? Blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, like the obvious, like, weird thing is that what, like, ironically, a party who cannot define woke is really obsessed with defining woman, right? They're like super obsessed with it. And so I'm like, well, you know, this sort of like weird anti-trans behavior from the Republican Party, which we've come to know very well, like, it's a very weird thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't like trans people because they're different. And so henceforth, I will be a prick about it. And I was thinking to myself, is there a reason, like, is there a scientifically backed reason that, like, behind transgender folks, right? And so I was pretty sure I had heard that there are actual physical neurological differences, but I wanted to be sure. So I read up on it, right? It's like just Wikipedia. There's been a number of studies. You know what? There are. Why are, just like there are neurological differences in gay folks, why are we treating people differently if they are like literally genetically different? Like, it's such a weird thing for me. It's not just like, I want to dress like this. And you're like, you can't dress like that. And like, I'm against it because I'm against this like random thing. But this is a thing that people quite literally cannot help. It is something genetically in them. Why are we treating them poorly for no reason?
I mean,
it's very weird to me.
No, I can explain.
I mean, it's religion. I know ultimately.
Well, that's part of it. But no, like, so Jay, obviously, like, you have in your corner studies from most likely woke scientists that have a political agenda true, and axe to grind.
Let's be honest. Vibe scientists.
Vibe scientists.
Woke is
correct.
A vibe. Science is a vibe, really.
Yeah, woke vibes. Science is a vibe. It seems pretty woke to me, or at least that's what I feel. But on the other hand, I just don't feel like, and by I mean like I'm speaking for Republicans right now. Like, this is my thoughts personally, but like, I as a Republican don't feel like that people should be transsexual. So like, my feelings trump your facts, as it were.
Brad, I hate to say it, facts don't care about your feelings, Brad. I'm sorry. They don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They don't. Look, I wish that guy wasn't a dick because he's right. Like, they don't. But the problem is he doesn't use facts. It's weird.
No.
Or he uses very cherry-picked, contextless facts. So it's – but it, I do think it's fascinating. Like, when I was reading that, like, there's a lot of studies on it. Like, there's certain parts of the brain that are different and things like that. And they can't explain it. They're like, we don't know why it's like that, but it is in the vast majority of people who are trans. This is seems to be true. Well, if it's a medical difference, I feel like that's the argument, right? Like, to me, that's the argument of, hey, they're legislating against me. This isn't even a thing that I can help. This is just who I am. How is the Supreme Court okay with that? How are federal courts okay with that? How are state courts okay with that? There needs to be an understanding that there is literal science behind this. It's not just in how, it's not just a vibe, bro, that I feel like I'm transgender. There's literally a part of their brain that is telling them that this is a difference in who they are, right? Like, there was a whole part, and I don't have the stuff in front of me to like read it, but you can just Google this shit. It's actually really fascinating. It's like, just Google transgenderism, and then you can just read about like the sort of studies on it. It's actually fascinating. But like, there needs to be a real understanding from journalists to the American, like taking this to the American people, that this isn't just a thing that people think is cool. This is actually who they are, right? I think largely in society, we've come to realize, and there are bigots because they're just like, the book says it's bad, right? But I think largely people go, yeah, gay people are gay because they're just born that way, right? Like, there are idiots who like, they chose it. Yeah, I'm sure 16-year-old kids can't wait to be bullied by dickhead pastors. They're dying for that shit, right? But I think the vast majority of people, even if you don't agree with it, if that's a thing, it isn't. Mm-hmm. Most people realize like they were born that way, and there is quite literally nothing they can do about it. Whether right. you think that's okay or not, that's just how they're born. It's the same with trans folks, man. It's the exact same thing. So why are we treating them as if they don't belong in the same category in our minds? It makes no sense to me.
I do want to zero in on that point that you made about like how and it just goes to show you that the people that pass these laws don't ever for 1 second stop to think about what the lived experience is.
No.
For the people that are affected Hell by no. them. Because you're right. Like, if you were someone who was gay and, you know, you realize it, like, in your teenage years, yeah, why would you open yourself up to incessant bullying and discrimination and things like that? It's you know, it's no different than someone who's black being like, yeah, I've given a choice. Like, I don't know if I choose that knowing what the fuck's ahead of me, you know, right. but, like, look, I was born this way. Like, I can't really do anything about it. It's the color of my skin. Like, what the fuck do you want from me?
Right. Yeah, it just that idea that we just treat people a different way, even though we know that this is not like this is evidence that we can read up on and be like, oh, shit, I didn't know that. Like, I was reading it. I wasn't necessarily shocked, but I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, holy shit. Like, what are we making the argument for? But to me, that's a way to knock down these laws. Oh, well, you can't say gay. Why? Why can you discriminate against black folks with books on black history? Why? That's who we are, dude. Like, well, it makes white people uncomfortable. Well, boo fucking who? Are we knocking out white people books? I had to read Call of the Wild, White Fang. Are those white books? They're all about dogs. White men and dogs. White people love dogs, oh my God. Right?
I've not read either of them, so I can't. Really
oh, we were forced to read those books. We were forced.
Oh,
to
no one, no. Well, this explains Micah's hatred of canines. Then, this,
yeah, yeah, he
all,
hated.
It's all making sense.
Yeah, he was forced to read Call of the Wild. I know he was because I was, and we went to the same school. he was like, "I'm not reading this book. Fuck these dogs." But like, we're not taking white history and moving it to the side. We're centering it against Native American history,
but
black history, gay history.
But you see, Jay, there is no such thing as white history. Because white history is history.
Yeah, of course. Look, so. As many white women as I've seen eating peanut butter. You guys owe George Washington Carver your lives. Knock it off.
It is flummoxing to me that Republicans seem to have like circled back around on the issue of being gay. And I guess it's being wrapped up in the arguments about like trans policies and stuff like that. This is not only you know, socially acceptable, it has been for a while, like settled political issue.
Like it's dead.
Once we got gay marriage on the books, you're done. Like it has 70% approval or 75% approval. Nobody in people me. In the country, and I would imagine that the other 25% are just fucking bigoted evangelicals in the South, most likely.
I don't think you have to imagine.
Yeah.
No.
Why are you running back to this?
And look.
Look forward, not backward.
It's right underneath. It's right there. Look, yeah,
take,
14%.
Take your L.
Just move on.
You fought the bad fight. You lost. Take your L. Move on.
Right. And look, 14% of that, 25% of those bigots, 14% of those bigots are gay. Okay? Like, they're somewhere on that spectrum anyway. Or it's like, you know, log cabin Republicans. Like I'm gay, but I really like fiscal conservatism. Yeah, that seems weird. That's weird.
Yeah, like the other people in your party fucking hate who you are as a person. Like, yeah, but I really like fiscal conservatism. I love it. I can't wait to save
a dollar. Trickle down economics. Oh, sign me up. Idiot. Next up, Idaho City Hospital plans on closing its labor ward. That's where they have babies. Because of shortages and bills that criminalize physicians. An Idaho hospital, Bonner General Health, is planning to shut down its labor services in May. It cited staff shortages and bills that criminalize physicians as a reason for the decision. Quote, "We have made every effort to avoid eliminating these services, but unfortunately that is not the case." Look, the reality is, they're tired of hearing all this abortion shit.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. They're shutting down services not because they're afraid to provide them. They're shutting down services because they don't have enough doctors to provide them, because doctors are being like, oh, that's how they're going to do in Idaho? Deuces. I'm out. I'm going to fucking Washington right over here where people can fucking get abortions no problem and aren't paranoid about this shit.
Yeah,
that's the thing that conservatives never fucking stop to think about, because, again, we talk about this incessantly on the show, incapable of seeing anything but the tree that's literally sitting 5 inches from them. And there's an entire fucking forest that they need to consider.
That's on fire, by the way.
Yeah. When you target policy like this, there is the law of unintended consequences. If you're a doctor who's an OB, and all of a sudden the state starts cracking down on, well, this policy is legal, this is not, you could get in trouble and face legal sanctions if you do this, but not if you do this. They're like, you know what? I don't fucking feel like dealing with this shit. I don't need to deal with this shit. There's plenty of fucking hospitals that could use my services in Democratic-run states where I don't have to worry about this shit. It's not even a matter of I can't practice medicine like I want to. It's just like, I don't feel like dealing with the red tape. It's annoying to have to fucking do this. Yeah. And so they leave. You see the same thing with big companies that leave a lot of red states and stuff like that. And they take with them their employees and their innovation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And those jobs just go elsewhere. And eventually what you're left with is pretty much what we have now with conservative states that are at the bottom of the barrel constantly.
Man. And they're going to get like worse.
Quality of life, you know, minimum, you know, like, you know, wage growth, like bullshit like that. Home values, like all this stuff has a trickle down effect. You guys love fucking trickle down so much. You love talking about how trickle down economics works. Well, guess what? There's a trickle down effect imposing laws and shit like this.
Yeah. They're literally pissing on you. that's what's happening. Look, the idea of blue states getting more and more of these doctors, or if not blue states, even if these people stay in the red states, they stay to only to the like urban areas, right? Like the, like the big cities. All that does is hurt rural and red state folks. People like, look, this is a 25 bed hospital. I read in another article, which means if it's a 25 bed hospital, that means one, it's not a very big hospital, which means it's likely in a rural area or it, or in, or it's in a, you know, relatively remote area. Right. And it's probably the only hospital around. Now people have to drive even further to have a baby. That's ridiculous, which possibly increases birth mortality issues. And those services are not there for Republican women and for rural women in general. Hello, dum-dum. Like, what are you doing? You want to have those kind of labor services available so those people can be okay. See, here's the difference. And this is a fundamental difference between liberals and conservatives, right? Or at least these two liberals, right? But I think this is largely true across the political spectrum. Republicans would look at this, if this was happening in blue states, and be like, good, good. Those people are suffering and they deserve it because of the policies they support. Blah, 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 blah. I, and I'm sure Brad also feels the same way, is, dude, people need help. And I don't give a fuck what color they are on the political spectrum. You can't just close a fucking hospital's labor ward because conservative women need labor services too. So stop passing laws that are running doctors out of there. That's ridiculous. That hurts your people too. I'm also concerned about those women in Idaho. That's fucked up. But they don't actually care about them. Please stop voting for these people. Please stop voting.
Well, I don't want anything bad to happen to those women, in that state, including the conservative women. But is this gonna inform your vote the next time? Are you finally gonna maybe switch your vote to Democrat because you're like, this is fucked up? Or are you gonna vote for the same asshole that allowed this policy to be put into place in the first place?
You already know and re-elect that person. You know what the answer is, Brad.
Yeah. So I appreciate that you think good of me enough to think that I would not be vindictive against these people, but at the same time, you know, elected officials are elected by the people that they represent. So.
Well, I tried to say that Brad was a good person. It turns out Brad's a piece of shit.
That's right.
He's a real dirtbag. Brad's like, screw these pregnant women.
sorry about the bed you made for yourself there. It really sucks to have to lie in it now, I guess. Well, what are you gonna do?
As the saying goes, you made your bed, now you're getting fucked in it.
Yes, like you said, the fact that it is a small hospital and it's fucking Idaho, right? Like, I can't imagine that there's a hospital that, you know, like, I mean, so we live in Baltimore, right? And in around Baltimore City. There's like 8 hospitals because there's a lot of fucking people that live here.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that one hospital in Idaho, like there's another one. Oh, there's only another one like 10 miles away. Nah, probably not. Probably more like 50.
Yeah, probably.
So.
What a mistake, man. What a fucking mistake. And it's.
But it's not a mistake.
It's
the complete intention behind these things. The hospital that had to shut down their OB ward, their delivery ward, they only delivered 265 babies and admitted under 10 pediatric patients last year.
But that means it's a rural place, you know. It's just not that many people there.
Well, no, that's also people are just like not going to that fucking hospital because of this shit as well. They're just like, yeah, like I'm gonna have to fucking drive to Oregon. I'm gonna have to drive to Washington for my healthcare services. I'm going to drive to Nevada.
That's just insane. It really is. And look, you're going to see the disparity between the blue states and the red states fracture even further if you keep doing shit like this. You're not hurting us.
How much more can it fucking fracture? Like, again, go just look at all the metrics that measure standard of living. In all these states, be it, you know, education, income, you know, whatever it is, by and far, conservative states occupy the vast majority of the bottom half. And liberal states occupy the vast majority of the upper half. And it's not even close.
I always find that funny where it's like, you know, these liberal cities have, you know, all this violence. I'm like, one, it's not as bad as you're saying it is. Two, by every other metric, like actually by every metric, it is far better to live in a blue state than a red state. It's by far. It is. Almost all of the, like, knock on wood sort of thing, but almost all the major school shootings happen in red states, right?
And in rural or suburban areas too, like not in big, not in the cities.
Now look, I have explained this before, and I'll explain it again. When black kids get shot in schools and cities, when urban kids get shot in schools and cities, that's normally I wanted to shoot Johnny, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's either a drug deal shit or it's a fight type of thing, and that is a 1-to-1. Black kids don't come in and shoot up the whole school just randomly killing people. That's not how that shit works. That's some drive-by Boys in the Hood movie shit. That's not what happens in a school, right? Now, that might happen on the block when somebody does, you know, like sprays down the block on some drive-by bullshit. Like, that does happen. But in schools, that's not black people's MO, yo. It's not. White kids come to school and shoot everybody. Everybody got to die. That is the reason that is because black kids have access to maybe a handgun, and white kids in those other areas have access to fucking AR-15s. That is the biggest difference. Oh, it's not the guns. It 100% is the gun. Like, you might get 9 shots off with a Glock. You can get a hell of a lot more than 9 off on with an AR-15 with a certain magazine. So it matters. And like, frankly, I don't give a fuck what any conservative says. I would 100% rather raise my kid at an urban school in this country than a school in the middle of fucking some red state. Fuck no. Fuck no. Mm-hmm. And look, I feel for those parents and kids who live in those areas. But the rate of those kind of things happening is absolutely higher. It just is. It is a statistical fact. It just is. So,
I feel like there's more gun violence in urban schools.
But what about Chicago?
In Democrat cities.
Yeah. Democrat run cities, right? But you know, what about Chicago? You know, like what about the South Side of Chicago? Like, I love that. It's what about Chicago? You mean the South Side of Chicago? Yeah, it's like it's a part of Chicago. It's not all of Chicago. Like, no.
And I mean, we get the same shit here. All the time. That's
why. Yeah. Isn't Baltimore just everyone shooting all the time?
Yeah, that's right. Every like I said, duck when you're in the Inner Harbor. Gotta watch out for those strays flying around the fucking aquarium, let me tell you.
Right. Like, no, it's not like that. There are certain parts of town I wouldn't go. Like, yeah. The fuck? Like, no. So yeah, it's a little wild. It's crazy. Last but certainly not least this week, Republicans are looking for Senate candidates who are filthy rich. Not my title, Politico's title.
and that's for Politico.
Right. Like, this is not like you would expect that from like
Daily Beast.
Daily Beast, right.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Politico's like, no, filthy, stinking rich. Senate Republicans have landed on a plan to avoid getting swamped by Democratic cash again next year. Find candidates who can bankroll their own candidacy.
Their campaigns. That's insane. Yeah. It's so insane to me. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it when Republicans talk about grassroots organizing. Because I'm like grassroots. Like, do you mean like the like oil field root organizing? Like, that's what I feel like you're actually doing.
Like grassroots. Like, you know, the iron ore, right? Like. Just under the surface. It's just right there. That's right. Get the coal out, man. Senate Republicans have they've landed on this idea. So far, at least 10 candidates with sizable net worth are seriously considering self-funded Senate campaigns in more than half a dozen swing states, many of them at the behest of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. What's interesting is in 2020 – two alone, Democratic nominees outraised Republicans by $288 million in six of its closest races. That's because they are actually getting people who want to donate to them who are regular human beings. Mm-hmm. And you ghouls in the Republican Party can't do that. One, Donald Trump is robbing you blind.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
That's a big part of it, right? Since 2016, he has been basically siphoning off most of the money off the top of the Republican Party by just getting his like legal defense fund money and stuff like that from your people. So when the election comes around, people are tapped the fuck out.
Yeah. And like I said, for as rich as he likes to be, the man's tight with a dollar. He doesn't like to splash that cash around, I'll tell you.
Not to anybody else. So look, there's two parts of this that I find really interesting. The on the surface, which is let's get a bunch of billionaires and millionaires to run, right? So we don't have to pay anything.
Jay, like they have to tap in to the voters that they're trying to
right the voter base
to get someone that's just like them.
Yeah, Muffy and Buffy, like the part of the hardcore voter base of the Republican Party. But then the other aspect is, it's not a matter of whether these candidates are actually qualified to be senators, have anything interesting to say. It's just that they're rich, because just being rich clearly makes you a person who should run for Senate. Like, I find that fucking hilarious to me.
What a joke. And you're not, and you don't even think about kind of what this, what the implication is here, because you're going to these people who have a shitload of money. And they're saying to themselves, hey, like we need you to run because you can fund your own campaign like that. And that way we can spend money elsewhere. So you're basically asking this person like, hey, we want you to run for Senate and we want you to spend your own money. But the people that have like rich people don't tend to like to spend money without making sure that they're going to get more money on the back end. So exactly. what's the implication there? Exactly. Like, if you're just like, hey, like, you go to the Senate, yeah, you're going to spend, $10, $15, $20 million of your own cash to help get you there. And then what?
Get that insider trading going, baby.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, guess what? These Republicans are 100% going to try to kill any bill that stops insider trading going to get in, because of course their entire bread and butter is to make back the money they spent plus interest, like a whole lot of interest. Yeah, that's a great point, actually. I did enjoy this quote, though. I thought it was funny. Quote, in politics as in life, money doesn't buy happiness, but poverty doesn't buy a damn thing, said Senator John Neely of Kennedy of Louisiana. So if you've got a candidate who has who can self-fund, you can spend your money elsewhere. I love that. Money doesn't buy happiness, but poverty doesn't buy a damn thing. They're so fucking blatant, man. They're just brazen. They don't give a shit. Yeah. They don't give a shit. Like, look, we need that cash. Like, we don't give a fuck what your ideas are. Get that money. Like, that's all we care about.
They're also courting David McCormick in PA. If that name sounds familiar, because he was also running in the Republican primary for Senate in the last election, but because Trump thought that Dr. Oz would be a better Senate candidate than David McCormick would be, he got punted to the side so that Dr. Oz could go out and lose to John Fetterman. And what's funny is that David McCormick probably would have beaten John Fetterman had they nominated him.
Yeah, probably.
So
I love it. But, hey, man, money talks. I guess for the Republican Party, they're like, no, that's all we want to talk about. Just get money. It's like that. Yep. That's all that matters. And look, they're literally advocating for a ruling class of just billionaires, like millionaires and billionaires, which is already happening anyway. But they want to bring it into politics as well, not just in the business world.
It's funny because I do actually think that deep into this thought process is actually some logic, because I think they're trying to also make sure that they don't get any more fucking lunatics running up in Republican party politics as well. Like, they're trying to get people that have their fucking heads screwed on straight.
Yeah, but Yeah, but like 60% of 60% of all CEOs are like malignant narcissists. So
I mean, that's all. Yeah, fair point. So
yeah, I think you might find a little bit higher percentage of complete fucking lunatics who just have money. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, potential self-funders for this cycle include Tim Sheehy, the Montana founder of an aerospace company. Eric Hovd, a real estate executive in Wisconsin, and West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, a coal mining magnate, who is said to possibly be a billionaire. So that's cool. That guy, he's the guy at the top of this article. That guy looks like, what was that Dan Aykroyd movie where he had the penis nose? Nothing but trouble.
I feel like that's correct.
Yeah, he looks like
he looks. You know what he looks like. Jim Justice looks like if Lindsey Graham really let himself go. Like if Lindsey Graham just stopped giving a shit.
Yes,
that's that. He would become Jim Justice.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, it is in fact the comedy horror movie, the 1991 film, Nothing But Trouble. Yes. that character Dan Aykroyd played, that's basically Jim Justice. Yeah. Okay. Republicans, of course, being, as obvious as they possibly can about not giving a shit about, democracy, just about money. That's it for us this week.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.
No kidding. All right, that's it for us. We will be back next week. I swear to God, if this indictment comes down tomorrow, I'm going to be furious. I'm really going to be mad. And I told you. I fucking told you. I knew it. We're not that lucky. We're just never that lucky. But hopefully we'll get an indictment next week, next Wednesday during the day. That would be good. Keep it fresh for us. But
Look likely to if they do indict him, and if they do arrest him, and if they do a perp walk, I hope they take the advice of Donald Trump and just, you know, maybe just like whack his head on the top of the squad car when they're putting him in.
Don't be so nice. Don't be so nice.
Yeah.
Just cram his head in there. God, that would be so good if they just like fucking smashed it in there and then pushed him in the car. Oh, I'd pay top dollar, $5-6 to see that.
That's like what's the joke? I can't remember who made the joke, but like if they really want to eliminate the national debt, just you know, put Trump's arrest on pay-per-view, make people pay to stream it. Done.
Look, paid in full. Invite your friends. Holy shit! It's like paying to see a Tyson fight, like back in the day. Like, oh, I'll get 30
yeah.
friends.
Like, you know, it's only gonna last 5 minutes, but it's gonna be a fucking damn good 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. It's gonna be worth it. All right, we will see you guys next week.
See ya.